This is BetCenter on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN's BetCenter. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you. Final hour of this program, of course, after us at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, Greg Peterson Experience. Get pumped up for that, of course, Greg Peterson, as always, hosting the show with his name in it. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. We have three double-digit favorites in games that start at 4 o'clock Eastern or 4:25 Eastern Time this week in the NFL. We already talked about the Eagles and the Raiders, which, by the way, there's a bunch of -2.5, -120 on the Raiders out there now in the market. The consensus play in the circa million was the Eagles +3. I did like that a little bit. I'm not going to bet that in a traditional sense, but we did play it in the contest this week. So let's start. We're going to work our way through. There are three double-digit favorites. We're going to start with the middle one. And it's odd to say that a 16-point favorite in the NFL is not the biggest one of the week, but this is the week we got here in Week 7. We'll start at SoFi Stadium. The L.A. Rams, who absolutely obliterated the New York football Giants last week at MetLife Stadium, they were losing 3-0. And then after that, they outscored the Giants 38-8, 38-11 winning that one. They get the Lions at home this week. Jared Goff against his own team. Matthew Stafford against his old team. The Lions are the only winless team left in the National Football League. They were pummeled last week at home by the Bengals, 34-11. It was not even that competitive. That was a total destruction. The Lions were averaging 1.5 yards a play well into the third quarter. That was ugly from the Lions a week ago. Right now, it is 16. Now, I will say this. And if you're listening, you can get on me on Twitter at Jeff Parles. But this is going to be a theme with these big favorites for me this week. If you made me bet this, I would lay. Now, if we somehow see a 17, then ask me then. That's a different answer, probably. I don't think we're going to get there. I think 16.5 is going to be the peak of the market when this is all said and done. Now, I'm not a fan of laying this many points in the NFL in many circumstances. My big concern here is that Detroit has given up on Jared Goff after six games. And when you hear your coach, and now look, at the collegiate level, it's a little obviously different. Brett Bielema called out his offensive line. His offensive line played great today. They had nearly 400 yards rushing in a massive upset at Penn State. Lane Kiffin calling out his team a little bit this week. They pummeled LSU. Pummeled them. Maybe Dan Campbell calling out Jared Goff wakes him up a little bit. Maybe, again, you're in the NFL. It's a 16-point line. The back door on a 16-point line should, in theory, be wide open. But in the end here, I like this game under 50.5 as well. I know the Rams' defense isn't quite what it's been. I feel the Lions have a really difficult time scoring in this game. And the Rams' offense against these mediocre to bad teams, so far this year, they have done whatever they want offensively. They've done whatever they want. 38 points against the Giants last week. Against Chicago, 34. Against Indianapolis, 27. The only reason that game was even tight was because of that ridiculous special teams play with Johnny Hecker with the fumble of the snap in the end zone and recovered for a touchdown for Indy. But 34 on Tampa. Really, the only game their offense did not play well was Arizona, and they still scored 20. Now they're not going to win this game 20-0. So for me, I really think Detroit is going to struggle to move the ball in this game until the result is not in doubt. So that's why it's a very tepid go with the Rams for me here. If you want Detroit at the big number, I have no problem with that. Prop-wise, looking at this, man, there's really not much of anything here prop-wise. Maybe Matthew Stafford over 23.5 completions, maybe. But the Rams might be up too much in order to get to 24 completions. Also, injury news for Detroit. Hockenson and Swift are questionable. That's, again, if Hockenson is out, I would anticipate that there's no chance of moving the ball for Detroit. That's the one guy you can rely on in the passing game. Going to be very difficult in order to see that. DeAndre Swift was in the expected to play list from Adam Schefter earlier, so I don't think that will be as big of an issue. But if Hockenson is out, that is a disaster for Detroit and that offense, period. So really, again, nothing prop-wise here. There's nothing that really stands out. So, again, I'm probably not going to bet this game. The thing I like the best is probably betting this game under. That's probably what I like the most. Let's go to another double-digit favorite. The defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers welcome in the Chicago Bears. Tampa was as high as 12.5 here. We're really seeing 12 as the consensus number now against the Chicago Bears. There's some 11.5 out there as well on Chicago. It wasn't the greatest of injury report for Tampa yesterday. Oh, we're actually starting to see some 13 even money. That's interesting. Huh. That must be new. It was 12.5 during most of the show here. Maybe there might be a 113 even money on Tampa Bay there. On it. So, yeah, maybe we're starting to see that. Mostly 12.5 still in the market, though, on Tampa. Total 47, that is still standard in the market. No Antonio Brown, no Gronk, no Lavonte David, no Richard Sherman. We knew Gronk wasn't going to play. We knew Richard Sherman and David weren't going to play. Brown was a little bit of a surprise off the long week, but he is out as well. Now, I don't think Antonio Brown, it's an impact for sure, but I don't think it's as big of an impact as we saw the line move a point after Antonio Brown was ruled out. I don't think that's right. I don't think he's worth a point. No way. And you look through this for Tampa. Now, you want to go on quote-unquote spots. Tampa does have New Orleans in the Superdome next week. That is a quote-unquote look-ahead spot. But I don't think New Orleans is really any good. And I think also with Tampa winning in the playoffs there last year. Oh, and by the way, Jameis is the quarterback, not Drew Brees anymore. Granted, I think Jameis is a little bit better than what Brees was by the end. It's a whole different ballgame, the way they're looking at it. But you look at player props in this game, which, by the way, if you're making me bet a side here, I would lay 12 with Tampa. This feels like a route. Chicago played pretty well last week and didn't cover. I know the bettors like Justin Fields better than Andy Dalton, but this feels like a game where Chicago is going to have all sorts of problems blocking the front of Tampa, and it's going to be an ugly one. So I would consider laying 12 with Tampa. We did put 12.5 in the contest this week. Prop-wise, I got burned last week on this. Chris Godwin, I have over 5.5 receptions. He ended up with five in the first half. There's a 5.5 minus 155 on DraftKings. I know that's ridiculous juice, but I think that's probably worth it. Expect Brady to target Godwin a lot this week. I also like Leonard Fournette over 3.5 receptions. Also big juice at minus 145. But Brady's going to have to spread it to those guys with no Antonio Brown, who has been his favorite target over the last few weeks for Tampa Bay. Chicago injury report a little bit better. Damian Williams finally off the COVID list. He looks like he's going to play. It'll be him and Khalil Herbert as that running back tandem. Yet again, Herbert's looked pretty solid. The undrafted rookie, looked pretty good. Allen Robinson expected to play. The only guy we know is out. Jimmy Graham's not going to play. He tested positive for COVID. He's out. Akeem Hicks seems to be a game-time decision. We're looking there. Khalil Mack's going to play. As I said before, on the Tampa Bay side, Sherman, Gronk, Antonio Brown, Lavonte David, they're all out. They're not going to play. We're not going to see them at all in this one. So, again, Richard Sherman, really, I know Tampa's battered. Still no Sean Murphy bunting with that shattered arm. But, again, this feels like a really good matchup for Tampa. Even with, again, Chicago has played a little bit better recently. I would only consider laying 12. Nope, feeling the total here for Chicago and Tampa Bay. Again, Tampa Bay in a normal week, 12-point favorites, would be by far the favorite. The biggest favorite on the board, I should say. They're number three this week. They're the third biggest favorite. Don't worry. We're going to get to the biggest favorite on the board, Arizona, in a little bit. But before we do that, quick update, because World Series prices are starting to come in. It has been quite the mix and match here. DraftKings is minus 160 on the Astros, plus 130 on the takeback on Atlanta. Behind us here at Circa, minus 140 on the Astros, plus 120 on the Atlanta Braves. I've seen as low as minus 130 on the Astros. I think anything south of minus 150 is a really good bet on Houston. I think this is a little bit of an overreaction to seeing Atlanta beat the team that was the favorite all year long in the Dodgers. Houston's just better than the Braves are. So, I think if you can get... I'm probably going to bet the minus 140 when the show's over, actually. I think Houston's a better team. I think they're going to be winning the World Series in about... maybe during the show next Saturday. That would be a four-game sweep, though. I don't think a four-game sweep's going to happen in that one. But look, that's where we're at right now. The Braves and the Astros World Series, minus 160 on Houston, plus 130 on Atlanta at DraftKings. When we get back, Dwayne Colucci of the Rampart gonna be with us next on VSiN's Bet Center as we continue along on a Saturday night in downtown Vegas.
This is BetCenter on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit for more. It is VSiN's BetCenter. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you on a Saturday night here in Las Vegas. And now I get to bring in someone who I consider the happiest guy in the Las Vegas Valley. You can find him up at the Rampart in Summerlin. He is the race and sportsbook director up there at the Rampart Casino. It is Dwayne Colucci. Dwayne, I want to hop right in. As always, thanks for joining me. And we're going to start with the day in college football. Dwayne, how did you guys do? What were the biggest results for you guys behind the counter?
Well, we had a pretty good day, I tell you, Jeff, when all was said and done. And, you know, I left a little before we posted. There was a lot of late games, you know, the 4:30 games. But after the morning wave of action, we were ahead, a nice chunk of change. And, you know, definitely when you see teams like Penn State that are, you know, top 10 ranked, they go down in 9 overtimes. It definitely helps you. And Oklahoma, once again, had trouble. I mean, Jeff, I think that was Kansas's first lead I saw against a conference opponent the whole year, and it comes against Oklahoma, and they're winning most of the game. So, you know, when you do see some outcomes like that, you're definitely going to be happy as a bookmaker in Las Vegas. So when I did leave the property, and that was about 6 p.m., we were ahead both at the Rampart and South Point. So very happy day.
Kansas was leading that game in the fourth quarter, which is just absolutely ridiculous. They were only 38.5 point underdogs in that one, Kansas was. Oklahoma did not come close to covering, winning by 12. Game stayed under there. Dwayne, I just want to ask you real quick about the futures book in college football, because it's pretty evident at this point that Alabama and Georgia should be the shortest shots, with Ohio State right behind them. At this point, Dwayne, is there anyone down the board, whether it maybe be in Oklahoma, Cincinnati, or maybe someone who was really long at the beginning of the year, like a Pittsburgh or a Michigan or even a Michigan State, is there anyone that concerns you down the board from a behind-the-counter perspective for a team that could sneak up and potentially win this thing? Or with it being Alabama or Georgia, that probably plays out a little bit better?
Yeah, definitely. The low price on Georgia has been established the whole year, Jeff, you know, and now you're sitting at 10 to 11, or basically you have to lay 11 to win 10 at my shop and the South Point. So, you know, the SEC teams, they always have a lot of backing, but we set the odds pretty low, and especially with knowing Georgia and Alabama were going to be such powerhouses, you definitely, it's not going to really hurt, but we do have a substantial ticket right on both those teams. Teams like Cincinnati, yeah, you know, they were a longer price, but they only had to really overcome Notre Dame, Indiana and their other opponents. So, you know, I definitely think Cincinnati, we have some ticket right at a longer price. They're one of those outside teams. Oklahoma, a lot of people perceive them in the top five, Jeff. So that's not really a team that we get hurt on. You know, maybe if a Michigan State, you know, we have a few tickets at a big price. But could these teams really beat the SEC teams? I mean, I really don't think so. I have to say that, you know, Cincinnati has been the best team getting the job done thus far. They had the big win, and then this week they were able to hold off a feisty Navy team who outscored them 10-0 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's a team that maybe has a chance. But in my opinion, from a bookmaker standpoint and a handicapping perspective, Georgia has really looked dominant. And, you know, if Alabama could get into a title game with Georgia, that'll be a great handle game for us. But from a futures perspective, yeah, it would be favorable if Georgia did end up winning, because we really wouldn't get too hurt.
Dwayne Colucci with us right now, the race and sports book director over at the Rampart. Get him on the tweets at NYBookie. Dwayne. Dwayne, I want to move over to the NFL. Mediocre card to me, but obviously the big thing that stands out is you have three double-digit favorites, and you have a 16-point favorite in the Rams that isn't even the biggest favorite on the board this week. Just from a behind-the-counter perspective, when you have an 18-point favorite in Arizona, a 16-point favorite in L.A., a 12-point favorite in Tampa Bay, is this just one of those where you actually see public bettors actually come in on underdogs because they're like, wait a second, we have that big of a line in an NFL game times three this week?
Yeah, I don't know about that, though, Jeff. You know, a lot of my public bettors, you know, they love a favorite. And when a favorite keeps going on like a machine, like Arizona, and you see how bad Houston is, I mean, we did get beat up last week. Keep that in mind. You know, we were the first to say it. All the Las Vegas bookmakers, it was a Sunday Bloody Sunday, as I call it, to quote you two. You know, it was just, it was a lot of favorites and a lot of teams that were expected to win. So when you see the Packers laying double digits, you see Arizona, you see the Rams, you see the powerful Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you definitely, I think we're going to see a lot of teasers with those favorites. I mean, it's hard to take the Texans just out of principle, Jeff. Think about how poorly they've been playing. I mean, you look at the Bears, too. You know, they just got shellacked last week against a division rival where you think they might step up and might have a competitive game, and they're just horrible. And year in and year out, you know, it's just that maybe you'll see a few Goff backers because they remember him and the, you know, the trade from the Rams. Definitely that's going to be an intriguing matchup. So I would see, maybe I would say, Jeff, in that game you'll get a little underdog action, but it's hard to see, you know, betting on teams like we're discussing. Lions, Bears, Texans, you know, football team. Very difficult to take these teams. I'm thinking a lot of teasers are going to come in on the favorites. And, you know, maybe not as many parlays, but some straight bets and maybe some round robins and in-game is going to be definitely big this week.
Dwayne, do you think America's teaser this week is Baltimore and New England or New England and Green Bay?
I definitely think New England, you know, you're seeing they're the consensus in most of these contests, mm-hmm. and definitely teasing them down against the Jets. But the Jets could be scrappy. That's a divisional opponent. And what was the other game? I'm sorry, Jeff.
No, Baltimore or Green Bay.
But the Bengals are a good team, mm-hmm. so I would say Green Bay are definitely going to be more popular at my shop, teasing them down against the Washington football team. Bengals have played some good football. I mean, if they beat Green Bay, they're definitely one of the top teams in the AFC, and the buzz starts to go around Joe Burrow. And, you know, he definitely has a good wide receiving core. They're well coached. So even though the Ravens are playing so good and Jackson's been unstoppable, I think that the Packers are definitely more enamoring, is especially at Lambeau, where you could only lay a small number against a bad Washington team.
Oh, America's teaser going with Green Bay and New England. There we go. That's yeah. we're making that determination on the show here, Dwayne. That's what we're doing here. Dwayne, I want to ask you about Sunday night because you mentioned the contest. Indianapolis was consensus number one behind me in the Circa Million, getting four against San Francisco. That line really hasn't budged. We're starting to see some 3.5s out in the market, including at your shop right now. But doesn't that surprise you that Indianapolis plus four was number one consensus this week in the Circa Million?
Well, I'm not sure if everybody was, you know, established on Garoppolo's status, and now you're going to see him start. And the 49ers losing another game at home, yeah, it is pretty shocking to think that a lot of people were backing the Colts, especially on the road. You know, they're pretty good, but it's still Carson Wentz. You know, it's Frank Reich. It's those guys. And definitely a strong defensive performance by the 49ers would win this game. And I think they're definitely in a good spot, especially at home Sunday night to right the ship. I think there's more pressure on San Francisco without a doubt, but I think they could easily get the job done. So, you know, even though Indianapolis is 4-2 against the spread, I still find that very, you know, hard to believe that that was the number one consensus pick going in on a Sunday night to play in San Francisco. That's definitely a tough spot.
Dwayne, 30 seconds here. Are you surprised that you haven't seen more local action on the Raiders this week with a down to 2.5 now?
No, I'm not surprised. I think the Eagles have done their homework this week. I think this is going to be a different outcome. I think the Raiders surprised a lot of people last week. But, you know, the people come in late, Jeff. I know how they are. They'll be backing them because that is one of the later games on the card, 105 start. So definitely I anticipate seeing a lot of Raider money late. But I'm not shocked that the Sharps are taking the Eagles. I think the Eagles will be well prepared for this game. I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. And no, I'm not surprised to answer that question.
He's Dwayne Colucci. You can get him on the tweets at NYBookie. Dwayne, the race and sports book director up at the Rampart Casino in Summerlin, Las Vegas. Dwayne, thanks as always for joining us. And Dwayne, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Definitely, Jeff. You know I'll have the drink tickets ready, and we'll have a lot of fun, as always, at the Rampart.
Of course. Thanks, as always, to Dwayne for joining us. When we get back, we're going to be looking at more in the National Football League here on VSiN's Bet Center.
This is BetCenter on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through November 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates and for all of the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC. For more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC for more information. It is VSiN's Bet Center. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you on a Saturday night. The Greg Peterson Experience comes your way in 30 minutes. So be amped for that. Greg, with a smile, is always just walking in the studio. He's ready to go in a half hour's time. Let's go to the biggest line of the week, though, in the NFL. 18 points right now. The Arizona Cardinals hosting the Houston Texans. 47.5 the total here. Cardinals undefeated. The last undefeated at 6-0. They pummeled Cleveland last week, 37-14. Houston, 1-5, losers of 5 in a row. They have been outscored on the road this year. In their last two especially. We'll go with those two. They've been outscored in their last two, 71-3 on the road. You include the Cleveland game in week two, they've been outscored 102-24. No mathematician, that's horrible. That is horrible. That's the reason they have the worst point differential in the National Football League so far this year. Now, look, it's an 18-point line. The big question is, do you ever want to lay that many points in an NFL game? We saw 20 last year with Kansas City against the Jets. The Chiefs don't cover games. They covered that one. This is a revenge spot for DeAndre Hopkins. And J.J. Watt goes up against his former team. Here's the deal. This was a very limitedly used game in the contest. The Cardinals were the least selected team, a little bit over 300. I definitely am not, definitely don't want to bet Houston here. Now, laying 18 in an NFL game is really hard to stomach, especially in a game where Arizona is on a short week next week. They get Green Bay on a Thursday night. If they're up a ton going into the fourth quarter, Kyler Murray probably should be parked on the bench so you don't risk injury in a scenario like that. But how is Houston scoring in this game? How are they scoring against this defense? Against the good defenses they have played this year, the top two, which were really the top three defenses, Carolina, Buffalo, Indy, of the three best that they've seen, they've scored a combined 12 points. The only game that they've, in the three, the two other losses, they scored 22 against New England, 21 against Cleveland. They had Tyrod Taylor for a half of that. They only scored 7 with Davis Mills. They scored 37 week one against Jacksonville. Tyrod Taylor played that whole game. Tyrod Taylor's not going to play in this game. Davis Mills is going to play. We probably see Tyrod next week on Halloween against the Rams. Look, I'm not going to say go out and bet Arizona, but that feels like the right side to me, even at 18. 31-3, 27-3, 24-3 even gets the job done. Heck, 21-3 is a push. If you can get one of those 17.5 that's still out there, you're good on 21-3. Now, of course, the back door is going to be open. I like this game under, by the way, 47.5, even though it's been bet down, it's still too high. Arizona's probably not scoring 40 in this game because I don't think they're going to go the whole way through, and that's really the only concern that I have laying 18 points. I like Houston under 14.5 team total, too. I don't see how they're scoring more than 2 touchdowns in this game. But look, I understand Arizona has the look-ahead game, and 18 points in an NFL game is insane. But that is the only side I'd play here. I would not dare play Houston in this game. Wouldn't do it. Maybe in game. Maybe you get like a 28.5. That's more than my Arizona gets up 14-0. You're probably getting that. That would be the only way I'd play this. I'm going to look to play Houston in game. I don't want them pre-flop at 18. So, yeah, look, of these three big favorites, I probably only looked at a 3 favorites, as ridiculous as that is this week, with the Rams at 16, the Bucs at 12, and Arizona at 18. All right, let's go to Sunday night. We already talked about it a little bit. I want to touch on it again because Indianapolis being in the consensus was stunning to me. Indy was consensus number 1, +4 at San Francisco. Jimmy G has his problems. We know this. But when San Francisco has Jimmy Garoppolo, they have been very successful against the number and successful winning games outright. Carson Wentz has been much better. No arguing that. Quinn Nelson back off IR. But I have a hard time seeing San Francisco, A, losing this game. And B, by the way, I like this game under 43. But for Indianapolis to go in there and cover 4, look, Indy this year, they covered against the Rams. Pretty fortunate cover. They beat Miami outright as a dog. Miami stinks. Covered against the Ravens. Should have won that game. And they covered last week against Houston. They've covered their last 3. San Francisco has not covered since week 2. They covered in Philadelphia. That was it. On a closing number, depending on what number you got against the Lions, you got home on the early numbers, you didn't get home on the latter numbers. They have not covered 3 in a row. They're off a bye. They're getting healthier from what they were pre-bye. Even getting Garoppolo. Look, I think Trey Lance is going to be a good NFL quarterback. He's not ready. And this team is much better off trying to win now with Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to Trey Lance. So, we put San Francisco in the contest laying 4. I think this is a good get-right opportunity for the San Francisco 49ers at home on a Sunday night against a team that I think is pretty average in Indianapolis. Crazy thing is, even if the Colts lose this game, the Colts have 3 straight home games. Tennessee, New York Jets, Jacksonville. That'll be an opportunity, even at 2-5, to get themselves squarely back into the AFC South race because of those 3 home games. Or you lose to Tennessee and your season is in big trouble, being 3 games behind potentially, or maybe even more behind Tennessee. I want to look at Monday night here. Let's go to Monday Night Football. Saints at Seahawks. This is toggled between 4-5. We're sitting at 4.5 for the most part, including at DraftKings right now. New Orleans off the bye on the road. I don't understand how the NFL has a team off a bye playing on a Monday. I don't understand how that happens. I really don't. Seattle, of course, Geno Smith. He is the quarterback. We are not going to see Russell Wilson, at least for a few more weeks, with him being put on IR before last week's game at Pittsburgh with that with the finger injury he suffered on the Thursday night against the Rams. I'm not going to bet this at 4, right now. There's really no difference between 4.5 and 5, as we know. If you're taking, 5's a dead number. There's obviously a pretty significant difference between 4 and 4.5 if you're laying with New Orleans. The concern here for the Saints, they are getting healthier defensively. What are we getting out of Jameis? That is always going to be my question with New Orleans. Tampa's on deck as well at home. A game that New Orleans is really going to need if they're going to want to possibly even stay in a race in the NFC South. I am curious to see what the Saints look like in this game. On a Monday night on the road, off a bye against the team. Look, Seattle's defense is not good. Geno Smith, first half was terrible. No arguing that. But Geno Smith, I thought, played pretty well in the second half. I know he had to turn the back-breaking turnover at the end. That wasn't really his fault. T.J. Watt made an incredible play. What are you going to do? T.J. Watt's really good at this football thing. Which, by the way, I think T.J. Watt's worth a bet in the defensive player in your market if you can get 7-1 plus 750 something in that pocket. But Seattle plus 4.5, if it continues to move up, it's still worth a look. If it gets down to 4, it's probably a no play. As you see with the number at 4 at DraftKings, money on New Orleans. Bets on New Orleans. 68% and 66% on the money and the bets. No shock there seeing a public side there. Total 42, and look, the total's low in this game. I don't want anything to do with it. Neither result would shock me. Wouldn't shock me if we see a little bit higher scoring. Wouldn't shock me if this is a slugfest. No play on the total for me there. Seattle getting 4.5 right now on the Saints. Got to imagine a lot of money line parlays on New Orleans. Goes feeding through the whole weekend into Monday night with the Saints. Be a lean to Seattle. We're going to see Seattle a little bit later, though, in my picks. I'll tell you that in a different fashion for the Seattle Seahawks. When we get back, we're going to look at some weekly overall props in the NFL, and I'll give you my best plays for week number 7, National Football League, as we wrap up VSiN's Bet Center. When we get back next, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is BetCenter on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get a full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything we do here at VSiN for only $22 a month. It's a great deal. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. It is VSiN's Bet Center. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you here on a Saturday night in Vegas. It's Sunday on the East Coast. It's an NFL Sunday officially. We're going to go through some props here, some special ones at DraftKings. We're going to start with the highest scoring game on the board for week 7. And it's going to go based off of all of the totals, your highest total to lowest total on your board. I'll say this very quickly. Kansas City and the Chiefs, they're the same team. Kansas City and the Titans, 57.5, plus 250 is the short shot on the board here. I think that's worth a bet at plus 250. That game, and I have said this multiple times, and you see it in my best bets in a little bit. There, to me, is not a total high enough for this game. Not one period. And look, the only concern that I have, and John Jansen brought up a very good point earlier. Tennessee's pass game has been nowhere near as good as it seemingly is given credit for. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been great this year. He's been okay. A.J. Brown has been dealing with food poisoning the whole week. Julio Jones can't seemingly stay on the field. They really miss Jonnu Smith, the tight end. But with that said, Tennessee has no chance of stopping Kansas City's pass game, and Kansas City has no chance of stopping Derrick Henry. So even at plus 250, here's the problem. You're such a mediocre week where if you look at that board, Lions-Rams, no. Eagles-Raiders, I like the under in that game. Washington-Packers, yeah, maybe if you get Green Bay going like Buffalo a few weeks ago against Washington, maybe. Atlanta, the Dolphins, no. Houston and Arizona, like the under there. Chicago and Tampa, yeah, if you're going to look down the board, that's probably the best one on the right column there for Chicago and Tampa. You hope Tampa gets a big high-scoring game, and then they let Chicago score a few times down the stretch when they're not really trying defensively. Cincy and Baltimore, no. Indiana, the rest of those, no way. So, highest scoring game. The short shot, Kansas City and Tennessee, I like the best. And then Tampa and Chicago at 10-1 would be the only other one I'd look at. Let's see what we have here. The lowest scoring game, opposite. I don't even have to take much time. Jets and the Patriots, 5-1. That's your bet. Second lowest total on the board. I just have a hard time seeing both of these teams scoring more than 20. I don't think anyone's getting it. New England got 25 because they had all those short fields last time. That's the one. Jets-Patriots lowest scoring game, 5-1 would be the one I'd look at. Highest scoring individual teams. Here you go. This is the fun one. Now, you have the Rams as the favorite at plus 330 against Detroit. The Cardinals at plus 380, the second favorite, of course, hosting Houston. KC at 5-1 against Tennessee. Tampa 7-1 against the Bears. Green Bay 10-1 against Washington. The Raiders somehow shorter than Tennessee. 15-1 on Vegas, 16-1 on Tennessee. I would bet Tennessee and Kansas City. Whoever wins that game is going to be the highest scoring team this week. That's my feeling there. So I would bet them both. You knock KC to 4-1. You go Tennessee at 15-1. I would just bet those teams. Those would be the two bets there if you're going to make bets on these markets. Lowest scoring team on Sunday. Now, this is interesting. Looking at this on the surface, throw Chicago out. I think they will get theirs a little bit. So throw them out. This comes down to the short shot of Houston at plus 350, the Jets at 7-1, and if you look at the right side of your board, Indianapolis at 10-1. Those are the ones it comes down to here. Oh, man. New England, I would like to see a New England number. I would imagine New England's probably 25-1, something in that pocket. That's probably worth it, too, just in case if the Jets upset them in some slog of a game. I'd probably look to Houston. That's a market I probably don't really gravitate towards. Houston at plus 350, it is kind of like before with the KC-Tennessee game. I'm not a huge fan in these sort of markets betting the short shot here. Most passing yards on Sunday. The bet here for me is Matt Ryan at 11-1. Miami's defense is bad. And I also kind of like Tua at 18-1. He's getting some weapons back. I don't want to bet Mahomes at plus 380. I don't like betting that short of a number in this market. But Matt Ryan seemingly found something against the Jets in London. And Miami's defense is really bad. If they're not forcing turnovers, they're one of the worst in the entire league at this point. So for me, Matt Ryan at 11-1, especially with Kyle Pitts unlocked, Miami's no one that can cover him. So I look to Ryan, and I don't hate Tua at 18-1 either on that one. Now you have your rushing totals here. This just shows the dominance of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a +110 to have the most rushing yards in the Sunday games. Darrell Henderson, second short at 9-1. This is not a bettable market, unfortunately. Because Derrick Henry's the only person I'd bet. He's the only one that I would look at betting here. But I don't want to bet a +110 in this market. No way. So no play on that one for the most rushing yards. And all these props do not include Monday night and do not include Thursday. Only the Sunday games. Receiving yards, now this is tricky. This is always a market that I like going down the board on. Because you can really do a lot of fun things here for this one. And as you look at it, you see on your screen, Devontae Adams, of course, the short shot against Washington, +550. Cooper Kupp, +650. Tyreek Hill, +750. Travis Kelce at 10-1. Now, there are a few on this board. I'm looking at DraftKings right now. There are two things I would look at. I'd look at DeAndre Hopkins at 16-1 just because he's going up against his former team, and his former team is terrible. So I would look at DeAndre Hopkins potentially at 16-1. If you want to take a shot way down the board, Now, this could totally get blown up if the Eagles put Darius Slay on him. But if they don't, Henry Ruggs, who's a huge play guy, 40-1, I think that's worth a potential small sprinkle on Henry Ruggs. But I think they're probably the safest one is Hopkins at 16-1, just because against his former team, they'll feed him early and often, and he might have a monstrous game against the Texans. All right, let's get to my favorite plays of the week here. And we'll start off, there you go, four of them for you. So, the teaser, yes, I know it's not Stanford Wong. You can yell at me all you want. I don't care. Ravens down. It's funny. I have both sides in this game. I like Cincinnati a whole lot at +6.5 for the reasons I said earlier. The defense is much better. That offense is a great wide receiving core. If the Bengals avoid turnovers against that Baltimore defense, they should be able to stay in this game and have a chance to win. But on the teaser side, I like Baltimore down to a half. I think they do win the game in the end. And in Seattle, yes, I know, not a Stanford Wong. I understand that. But up to 10.5, I have a hard time seeing New Orleans beating them by more than 10. So that's your 6-point teaser of the week. The over in Kansas City, Tennessee. And now, look, this seems to be going down a little bit. You may end up with a 56.5 at kick. Like those even more. They could not make this total high enough. This feels like the Sunday night game back in 2019 with Kansas City and New England, where you saw 57-58, and people are like, oh my God, how could you possibly have a total that's almost at 60? Well, when the game goes over easily, that's why you had a total nearly 60 in an NFL game. Don't think you can make this total high enough, over 57.5 on Kansas City and the Titans. And look, I'm not a fan of laying the wood in the NFL, but there were 11.5s out there earlier in the day on Tampa. I like them. I just think this is a brutal matchup for Chicago, and I think we're seeing a little bit of an overvaluing of Antonio Brown. That should not have dropped the whole point with Antonio Brown being ruled out. We knew the other guys weren't going to play. Gronk, Lavonte David. Richard Sherman, I'm not even sure being out is a negative for Tampa at this point. Laid with Tampa with the 11.5. So Bengals +6.5. Chiefs and Titans over 57.5. Bucks 11.5. Malaying 11.5. Ravens and Seahawks, 6-point teaser, -0.5 on Baltimore, +10.5 on Seattle. 4 hours in the books. That's all the time we have for VSiN's Bet Center. I'm Jeff Parles. What a fun time we had here tonight on the show. The Greg Peterson Experience is coming your way next. Good luck with your bets tomorrow on the NFL. This has been VSiN's Bet Center with Jeff Parles here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.